I can't help but chuckle. Brandon said that if you're interested, it's $9 for to go over there to the Hershey Museum there. And it just, I'm sorry, just reminded me of a little, when my wife and I were first, I'm not sure we were married yet or not. We'd go around old flea markets and buy old furniture and stuff. And she'd buy something, we'd fix it up and put it in her apartment. And I'd buy something, put it in my mom and dad's basement. And then we got married, we figured, well, you know, we'll do it. And we'd fix things up. And I had this post, I don't know whether you noticed this, this has nothing to do with anything, but a wooden podium we used at the Christmas program. We found it at a flea market. It said $25. And I said, how much is it? $25. About 30 minutes, 30 seconds later, I said, now if you're interested, it's $22. Okay, all right, I'll be interested. I can do that. And I thought, but if I'm not interested, it's still $25. But anyway, I don't know. It just struck me funny. Anybody need a worksheet? Anybody didn't get a worksheet? Anybody need a worksheet? Hold your hand up right down here in the middle real quick, guys. All right. Appreciate you being here. All those one down here, one over there, too. All right. I appreciate you being faithful. I know for some folks who said, in fact, I was thinking about my son-in-law. He says, the pastor repeats himself, so you haven't missed anything. But when he made announcements on Sunday morning, but I think we've got something good going here. But I'm just picking on him. Picking on you. All right. Let's read the scripture first. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. And this is that last passage we go through that kind of pulls everything together before we bring them to the invitation, if you will. Verse number 9 of Romans 10, verse number 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I always say there's two things in this verse. One, we've got to confess the Lord Jesus. That means we've got to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I can't die for you. You can't die for me. The only one that can die for us is someone who has no sin of their own. The only being in the universe that has no sin of their own is God. And so we've got to confess. We've got to believe who he is. And then it says we've got to believe and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Well, why do we got to believe he rose from the dead? I thought we were supposed to believe he died for our sins. Well, he rose from the dead means it proves that all our sins were paid for. He's no longer in the prison of sin, or the prison of hell, so to speak. He came out of there. If he's still dead, he's still paying. Number 10, for the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I gave you an illustration, but somehow or other, when we do this, we've got to realize this is not just a head knowledge. There's a lot of people in the world, even people who were secular historians, know that there was a Jesus, know that he died on a Roman cross, know that they claim that he died for the sins of the world. And in fact, there's a lot of Christians who say, well, I know he died for the sins of the world. But that doesn't mean that you've actually gotten the benefit of that death until you trust in it. And you know that the classic example, and something you can always use, is to say, you know, this, in fact, a lot of times I'll go into a home or someplace, sit down, you said, well, have a seat. And I'll by this time, I'll get up and I'll say, now, when I walked in, you told me to have a seat. No, I didn't turn it over to see if it could help, you know, if it could hold me up or anything. I took your word on it, and I sat down. Now, if I sit down in this chair, but I'm going to hold on to this one just in case it falls down, do I really trust the chair? They always say, well, no. So then I say, okay, now do I trust the chair? If it goes down, I go down. That's what we're talking about, to believe with all our being, all our heart, not just in fact, but in our heart. He that believeth, it says, with the heart man believes in the righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That means if I believe it, I won't have any trouble confessing it. By the way, that's a good verse for soul winners. Or let's say prospective soul winners. If you really believe it, look at verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If we believe in our heart, we'll confess it with our mouth. If you're having a hard time confessing it with your mouth, then maybe you don't yet believe it in your heart. I'm taking out of play there our simple, normal shyness and personality, which, by the way, the Bible says that the disciples prayed not to get rid of the problems, but for the Lord to give them boldness. So they wanted to say something. They're not ashamed, but they're just a little scared, just a little shy, whatever it may be. Ask the Lord to give you boldness. Verse 12, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all was rich in all that call upon him. And again, I always say, well, they, you know, the Jews were God's people, and they thought they were special, and they called the Greeks dogs. But God doesn't care who you are, where you came from, what your background is, old, young, educated, uneducated, rich, poor, makes no difference. Let me say it this way. You cannot give the gospel to the wrong person. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for again for some time together. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, I want to be a blessing to these folks. And I know we've taken some time, and I certainly don't want it to feel labored or cumbersome. But Lord, I pray that they'll be able to take especially the initial issues of leading someone to Christ, to be able to have it in their heart, not be ashamed, have it in their heart, be fully, have the boldness to give the gospel. And Lord, just in love, speak the truth. And Lord, the folks out there are not the enemy. They're the victim of the enemy. We need to feel sorry for them and give them truth. And even if they fight back, Lord, it doesn't mean that we're wrong and they're right or we should stop. Lord, sometimes folks fight back even though, because they just don't understand. But Lord, we need to pray and have boldness and give them the truth. And if they won't take it, Lord, just give us the boldness to walk away in a way and leave them open for someone else to lead to Christ. We plant and we water, and Lord, that you will give the increase. Now, Lord, I pray that you put your hand on each one of these folks. We had quite a few folks who said they want to lead somebody to Christ before this year's over. Lord, I appreciate that, and I'm proud of them, and I'm thankful for them. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll work in our hearts and our lives and give us what we need. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You folks who have animals, did you ever have an animal wounded and you had to help it? And it's scared? And it jerks back? Well, even our kids do that kind of stuff. Sterl used to hate us to cut his toenails. It was awful. He'd cry like we were cutting his whole toe off. But, you know, and then you say, that's so silly. And sometimes we think that people are being mean, they're being nasty. But wait a minute, sometimes they just don't know. It's all brand new. And you give them the gospel, and it's just like they're almost offended. And they really don't know why. They just think it's supposed to be wrong or whatever it is. Just give the gospel and do so with love. Now, real quick, as I'm not going to go through the whole plan tonight, but I do want to kind of give us a little review. Point number one is, all have sinned. Remember? Now, that's not on your paper here. I'm just reviewing. First thing you need to think about is all have sinned. Give me a verse, a reference. All sin come short of the glory of God, which is Romans 3:23. All right, give me another one. 3:10, which is? There's none righteous, no, not one. All right, good. Point number two, that we're all sinners. You've got to establish that first. Point number two, we come up with, because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. Give me a verse. Romans 6:23, and probably the first part. I don't usually go through the whole verse with them because I don't want to give it away. I want to get them good and lost. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. I mean, now, you can stop right there and give it to them, and the fact is, many folks have been won to the Lord right there. I mean, you can win somebody Lord with John 3:16. All right? You're going to win somebody Lord with Isaiah 53. Philip did. He won the Ethiopian eunuch with that one. I mean, there's a lot of ways of doing it. I just found that this is very clear to the American culture. It makes all the sense in the world. Now, so if we want to talk about sin, why we don't get to go to heaven, we could talk about a couple of verses in Revelation, which is 21:8 and 21, right at the end of that chapter, 27. Revelation 21:8, 21:27. There were some of your verses. All right? But the fearful and unbelieving, abominable, and sorcerers, and darling, and murderers, and all, okay? So they'll have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There shall no wise enter into it, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh a lie, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Make it abomination, worketh a lie. So all have sinned, Because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. Number three, Jesus and paid for all our sin. Just keep, I know you feel silly calling out to me like this. I know. But I want, you know, it helps when it comes out of your mouth. It just, you know, it just really does. So he's died and paid for our sins. Romans 6, 23, the second half. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is. All right. Romans 5, 8. But God commendeth. Christ died for us. A lot of times when I open that Bible up, I'll go back to 6:23, my little Bible there, I can flip a page. It says, the wage of sin is death. And then I'll flip back to 5:8, but Christ died for us. Oh, wage of sin is death. Christ died for us. I put the two together there. And it really helps that vicarious death. Don't use that term. Just say, Jesus died in your place. Jesus died for me. So all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. Jesus died and paid for all our sins. And I usually always put in there, and rose again, proving my sins were paid for. I don't like leaving them in the tomb. I mean, I know people get saved without having to go through the resurrection, and I have done so. But if I have the time, I really like to put that in there because it really solidifies some things. And lastly, if we will, Jesus to save us, he will. All right, very good, very good. Now, we've gone through all of sin and come short of the glory of God. We've gone through, because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. We've gone through, but Jesus died and paid for our sins and rose again the third day, proving all our sins are paid for. And then we come to the last part. Now, the fact is, the first thing I would do, and it's on your paper, after I get finished doing those things, I would review. I'd make sure they keep the sequence in mind. Put the sequence in mind. Listen, these people may be hearing this for the very first time. People forget 80% of what they were taught when as soon as you walk out the door. And so then you got to do it again and catch a little bit more of it. Do it again and catch a little bit more of it. And so the fact is, you want them to know. I had a little lady. I'm gonna be honest with you. I had a little lady, Janice Russell. She's my secretary. Was out in her office. This little lady came in, and she had come here a while back, and an older lady, and she wanted to talk. She said, "You know, I've been going someplace else." She says, "I came here for a while. I really liked it, but it's kind of far away, and so I went someplace closer." And she says, "It's just not the same." Is it okay if I come back and is it still at 10:30? I said, "Well, I don't know." No, I did. I said, "Well, sure, you can come back. That's no problem at all." And she came in and sat down. She says, "You know, I'm just kind of afraid of dying." Now, wait a minute. I'll be honest with you. I went through this with her. Now, she was one of those people that just kind of, okay, or sometimes just being nice. And you get those sometimes. I hate to say it. You get those sometimes. And I had asked her, I'd gone through the whole thing with her. And she had prayed with me. The fact is, you know as well as I do, just repeating a prayer does not get somebody into heaven. It doesn't do it. There's got to come a time when they believe in their heart. Now, you say, "Well, you're telling me this doesn't work. You're just shooting in the foot." No. I'm saying it works when they believe in the heart. But if they don't know what they're believing, then they can't believe in the heart. And so the fact is, I went through all this and she still didn't quite have it all right together. And she said, "Well, I'm not sure." I said, "Well, if you were outside the gates of heaven and you knocked on the door and they asked you why they should let you in the door, what would you tell them?" And she said, "I don't know." Now, her husband was waiting out in the car. He didn't have time to really talk to know. I said, "Well, you need to talk real soon." She says, "I know we do." And so, you know, Lord willing, I'm going to sit down with her again here real, real soon. You say, "Well, you tell me it doesn't work." You know it works. You're saved. What I'm saying is just the 1, 2, 3 pray after me is not going to be enough. In fact, some people are going to need to hear it several times. I've had people who have gone through this several times, and all of a sudden, you can see the lights go on. It's like, I get it. So, I would review. with them. First thing I would do, and you got them on your paper there, now we are all sinners. Would you agree with that? Let her be. And because of her sin, we deserve, you're getting it? I'm going to go fast here, deserve death and hell. Do you understand that? Let her see, Jesus died and paid for all our sin and rose again, proving all our sin was paid for. They say, well, why do you review? Just because of this. Somewhere down the road, somebody's going to get saved. And the Bible says that if we will pray and ask him to save us, he will. Or you could say call. That's the word that's used in the verse. It means the same thing. If you call and ask him to save you, if you pray and ask him to save us, he will. Do you understand that? And so you need to make sure they understand what it is that they're trusting in. If they don't understand, they're not going to get it. I'm sorry. It just you can't just get them to pray a prayer and let God take it from there. Number two, tonight we're going to do the invitation. It's kind of, you know what, by the time you get finished presenting the gospel and you've taken your time to go through it, you've kind of preached a sermon. You've preached a message to them. You really have. In fact, you know, when I've gone through this, you've recognized a lot of things from messages that I've actually preached where I've kind of gone into that little spot there or I've gone into that little spot there. So why don't you think up something new? Well, I'm sure that there's other ways of saying it, but I found it works real well, so I use it. So number two, the invitation. Now, here's a real important question. Now, and I look them square in the eye. And I'll say, if God will take you, just like you are, and he will, forgive your sin and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? Those are some key words. If God will take you, there's an awful lot of folks who will say, I'm not sure if God would have me. Oh yeah, he'll have you. If God will take you just like you are, and he will, forgive your sin and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? Now, I'll be honest with you, by the time I get through there, very, very, very seldom will I ever get a negative answer. Because they're lost, and God's going to give them a home in heaven. Usually by this time, it's yes. I can hardly get the question out before they're saying yes. They know a good deal when they see it. Now, letter B, I have a little illustration. Again, you don't have to use this illustration. Maybe there's a better one. It's just a little quick little thing to help them understand on the wedding vows. The words wedding vows. And I would say something like this. now, if I'm talking to a couple, let's say John and Brenda Holder were not saved. And I'm trying to lead them to the Lord. But I can see that they have a good relationship in their marriage. And I would say, John, when you got married, did you have all your wedding vows memorized? Did you mean it? Well, sure you did. I can help you right now do the same thing, receive Christ. You see what I'm saying? I put some weight on what they're going to say right there. Now, if I'm talking to somebody and the marriage is kind of rocky and this and that and the other thing, or, you know, I don't know, whatever it might be, I'll probably say something like, I said, now, you know, when I got married, I didn't have all my wedding vows memorized, but I did mean it. Now, I can help you do the same thing right now. It works better if I get them to, well, yeah, I meant it. And all of a sudden it solidifies what they're going to say right here in a minute or two. Well, yeah, I meant that. Well, I'm going to mean this too. It's like, okay, I can do this because I can mean this without having to be able to word it in my own words. Okay, see what I'm saying? And so I'll say, well, all right, if he'll take you just like you are, forgive your sin, and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? Yes. Now, when you were married, did you have all your wedding vows memorized? No. But did you mean it? Yes. I can help you do that right now to call on the Lord to save you. Would that be okay? Don't press. If their heart's not in it, you haven't done anything but make them word a prayer. And what if they stop you? You have not failed. You give them the gospel. You love them. And say, well, I'm just not ready. That's okay to say, well, is there anything you don't understand that I maybe didn't make clear? Some things you've got, you know, an issue with, or something you need me to explain a little better. And usually by that time, once they say no, most likely they probably won't. I'm just being honest with you. But you've given them the entire gospel. Now, again, at least 90%, probably more than that. I get to this point, they'll say yes. I say, can I help you? And well, yeah. So I'm going to say, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you don't understand what we're, I always say this too. It's number two in letter B. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and if you don't understand what we are saying, then you stop me, because this needs to be a prayer from your heart to God's heart. Again, I like these statements, and I've used them. I know you said, well, I've got to repeat what you do. No, but you could get the idea. You stop me if you don't understand what we're saying, because if you don't understand what we're saying, you're not getting prayer. You're not getting saved. I'm not going to tell them that, but I mean, they're not getting saved. They don't know what they're saying. I'm not here to get a notch in my belt. I'm not here to be able to make a report to the soul-winning club that I got one saved tonight. I'm here to lead that person to a real-life, true knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he comes in and saves them and regenerates their heart. And if I don't do it right, I'm making a fool of everything. I'm making a mockery of everything we do. And I'll be honest with you, I still think there's an awful lot of churches that are full of folks who were taught character, but they were never saved. They look good. They follow the rules. They've been doing it for generations, and they're not saved. I think it's one of the reasons why churches split so often over stuff that's silly. Listen, we are going into a very dangerous state for time for our church. Why? Because we're going to spend a lot of money on a building. Everything's fine until you start spending money. And it's a lot of money. And all of a sudden, if we're not careful, we're going to take preferences and issues and all this stuff. Why are we spending all this money and putting purple carpet in? I'm not putting purple carpet in. But if I say purple carpet, then anything else sounds better, right? Anyway, listen, why are we spending money doing this? Why are we doing this? Listen. We have to make sure the main thing's the main thing. And if what's happening isn't wrong, is not against the Word of God, yeah, try to let it go. We have to. You have to. I just say, well, you can do whatever you want. No, I'm talking to the deacons. You voted them in, and there's people that I'll come and ask opinions of and so forth, but we need to be careful with that. So anyway, my point is, we need to pray for them. Now, underneath number C, pray for them. You get ready to pray. We did the invitation, and we've asked them that they want to receive Christ, and they're saying yes. So letter C, I'm going to pray for them first. So I said, let's have a word of prayer, and we bow our heads. Now, you may want to thank the Lord for allowing you to meet. You may thank the Lord for allowing you to have the opportunity to share these Bible truths. If you're in a hospital, or there's an issue there, or they're shut in, or someone's not well, and it's sometimes that's part of why they're willing to listen to you, then I'd be honest with you, I'd go ahead and pray. If I hadn't already that evening, I'd pray for their health. Pray for the doctors, give them wisdom. All the things that we need in prayer, I'd pray for it. Now, when I finish these items of prayer, this is number four, I would direct the prospect that I'm going to lead them in a prayer that they should pray after me. So I will say something like this. Now, pray, letter D, pray with them. Letter C is pray for them. Letter D is pray with them. And I would say something like, now pray something like this. And you've heard this prayer how many times from the pulpit? It's the same one I use all the time. And now, I've actually heard preachers say, they make fun of people who have great big long prayers to win somebody to Christ, to get them to pray to receive Christ. Now, we're not going to go, Father Abraham and all this stuff, you know, all this. We're not going to go through all that stuff. We don't need all that. But I do want them to know what they're praying for. It needs to be more than, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. Help me to live for you. That's dangerous. Because as soon as they stop, they feel like they've messed up. By the way, if they really did get saved, the Holy Spirit's in there convicting them of their sin and trying to clean them up, right? So they're going to realize that they're going to see their sin like they never did before. And so they're going to feel like a big sinner. So they're going to feel less saved than they were before they ever prayed the prayer. And they're going to feel like a defeated Christian. They say, well, I wasn't saved. I don't know. I see my sin worse than I did before. So I don't put works in there because it's not of works lest any man should boast. Either it's of grace or if it's of works. So I would say, now pray something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. Now, I very well, if it's a gentleman, if I'm with him and I usually say, Dear God, and just kind of tap him on the shoulder or tap him on the hand or something. Dear God. So they know it's his turn. I know that I'm a sinner. Once he gets to go in there, fine. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that because of my sin, I deserve death and hell. Did you just hear point number one and point number two there? See, I'm praying the points. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that because of my sin, I deserve death and hell. But I believe that Jesus died and paid for all my sin, point number three. And rose again the third day, proving all my sins were paid for. Right now, the best I know how, I accept the death of Jesus as full payment for my sin, point number four. We're simply praying, acting upon everything we just taught them. The 4 points. Not leaving anything out. Because I want, listen, sometimes we give them the gospel and then this prayer doesn't sound anything like we just taught them. They say, well, what in the world, where'd that come from? I mean, what are they trusting? What we've just taught them. Number 7, I'm trusting him alone for my salvation. So, well, why? It sounds a little redundant, a little repetitive here. Each one of these phrases, be honest with you, I started doing all these because there was this excuse or this, what's the word I'm looking for? Opposition, that's not the word I'm looking for. But they each had this, some kind of, they were going to pose what I was saying. And so we realize, it takes care of a lot of little issues. I'm trusting him alone, not him and Mary. Not him in baptism. Not him in my church membership. See, I'm accepting the death of Jesus as full payment for my sin. That's the point. But I'm trusting him alone for my salvation. It's him and only him. Again, I want them to know what they're trusting in. I don't want anything slid in there that they're going to get off track on. Then I say, come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, and give me a home in heaven. Okay, now I got heaven sealed up. Thank you for saving me. As soon as they say, thank you for saving me. Each of those, they kind of say after me. And I've got it divided up there. So he would say, I accept the death of Jesus. Accept the death of Jesus. That's full payment for my sin. It's full payment for my sin. I'm trusting him alone for my salvation. My salvation. Okay, it goes all the way through. Then he said, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Now, at that point, I'd go ahead and close in prayer. I'd say, I would thank God for his decision. Thank the Lord for what he's done in his heart. And Lord, I hope they'll get into a good church where they're learning the word of God. And we're glad that they're part of the family of God. Now, number 2 underneath there, it says, do not mention anything in the prayer concerning works. There's a lot of people do that, and I know they mean well. But see, we're thinking from our side of salvation. We've been saved. You say, well, good. Now they're saved. Now let's get them cleaned up. Well, that's true. But they just got saved. We just filled them full of so much. I don't want to throw works in there and have them not be able to keep that clear. They got saved by grace through faith. Now, there may be times when I would say, now, the Bible says, and I've said this, the Bible says, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we just did. And it says, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That means when we really believe, when we really get settled in where we are, we ought to take the stand and publicly identify with the Lord through baptism. And then it says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever have commanded you. That's what we do at our church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I tell them that. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, just preach the gospel to you, and you took it. And, you know, we're hoping you're going to be in a point where you're going to take a stand and get baptized. And then Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that's what we do there, is to teach you all things. Oh, it all makes sense. Which is, by the way God designed it. We're the ones who changed the format. We're the ones that, well, we can't get them there to learn the Bible, so we got to do something else to get them in. So I don't want to put works in number one underneath that. We do not want to confuse, works with salvation by grace. Close out the prayer thanking God for his decision. Pray that God will help them grow spiritually as they get into a good Bible teaching church. Now, once you get them saved, I do want to give them what you call assurance. Again, in a way, it's simply solidifying some things. Because what's going to happen is, they got saved, and I'm going to leave, the wife's going to come home, she's going to crank all of them, they're going to have a big argument, and say, well, I guess that didn't work. You know, or tomorrow, whatever it is, something's going to happen. So, well, I guess I'm, you know. Well, the fact is, they're babies in Christ. They just got born. You know, you don't take a baby when it's born, put it in the garage and wait till it turns 13, and then go back and talk to it. What was it Mark Twain says? They said when a child becomes a teenager, you put it in a barrel and just feed it through a hole, and when they turn 20, fill up the hole. Anyway, the fact is you want to give them some assurance, because they need to know that this is a forever thing. And so one of the first things that I will do, and again, if it's a gentleman, I'll do this, but if it's in the right context, I'll even do this with the ladies. Maybe some people don't think I should, but let's just pretend you just got saved, and we just said amen. And I said, did you mean that?
Yes, sir.
I know you did. Sure you did. Just get them to shake your hand on. Now, sometimes you can't do that. If they got some kind of disease in the hospital, I usually don't do that. I'll say, did you mean that? Oh, yeah, you mean that. But I look them in the eye. I said, of course you did. Now, let me ask you. I said, watch this. I've been using this track all along. Remember we talked about the track and the bill, you know, and Dad's going to give me the $5,000 again. Now you don't have to use it for anything else. You don't want to do that illustration. That's fine. But suppose I said, I want to give this to you, but I want to come up to the church and vacuum it first. Now, don't be nice. I usually say that. Now, don't be nice. Is that a gift? No. There's where people say, yeah, it's, I said, come on. They're trying to be nice. Don't be nice. You know, is it? No, it's not a gift. I'm making you work for it. Suppose I said, I want you to have this, but I want you to read it twice a day. If you don't read it twice a day, I'm going to take it back. Is it really yours? No. No, you're working to keep it. Now, the Bible says, well, and then what I'll do is I'll take this thing. I think we ought to, in fact, I'm going to see if I can get my wife to get a nicer one than this. But it has a little spiritual birth certificate in here. And it says, on this day, and I would put on there March 23rd, 2016, I, Brian Stewart, by the way, it helps you remember his name. You get to spell it, but it will help you. Receive Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Well, now it's got your name on it. So good to me. Here, take that. Is that a gift? Yes. Now, what I gave you was a piece of paper. Now, what God gave you was eternal life. Now, how long is eternal life? Now, if you've been to Christmas Eve, you heard me say this so many times. So what if he gave it to you, he can't take it back. He's transferred possession. And what he gave you never wears out. And you really can't get, more secure than that. The fact is, he gave you a gift. You can't take it back. It's all yours. It's done. It's signed, sealed, delivered, all over. The assurance. Now, I could finish that much. I just did it for you there. Letter C, the tract illustrated was, what's a gift? And I wouldn't say what's a gift. That's kind of a little illustration put there. And then letter number 5 down there, I fill out the track with the name and the date. Letter C, number 5. And how long is eternal? Now, another little thing that I often do, I forgot about, I'll get off of this place, was, in fact, as soon as we get finished praying, I said, did you mean that? I usually shake hands. I forgot something here. I usually do. You don't have to see it, Gary. See, you don't have to do it perfect. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you just call the name of the Lord and ask him to save you? So would you be saved or lost? Where do saved people go when they die? So where would you go when you die? Now, there's been times when the light goes on right there because it comes out of their mouth. Dr. Jack Hiles used to say, give the gospel. And he said, well, why do you do all these little things? Because he says, somewhere in there, it's going to click. See, it might be before we ever pray. I've had people that the lights are already on. They're swallowing everything. They've got everything. There's some folks who they pray, I can't tell you how many times I've had folks, you start praying, he said, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that because of my sin, I deserve death and hell. And I know because of my sin, I deserve death and hell. And about right then, you can hear their voice crack. Because it coming out of their mouth makes it real. They just confessed to God they deserve death and hell. And usually if their voice cracks, I real quick say, but I know that Jesus died. But I know that Jesus died. And you can almost hear it in their voice. There's been times when I've said now, did you just call the name of the Lord and ask him to save you? Yes, I did. So would you be saved or lost? Saved. Checked by my name. Where do saved people go when they die? That's been another spot. Or if they don't get it yet, or it's not there yet, I said, so where would you go when you die? Whew. It makes it real. Now, again, Jack Hiles is somewhere in there when you shook your hand, when you asked the question, somewhere, maybe before you, the light goes on and they realize what just happened. They've got things settled with God. It's not that difficult. Now, we're gonna kind of clean up some things next week. I'm going to give you a couple other pointers. And the fact is, if you got some questions, so what if? Well, how about bring them with you? I may not have all the answers, but I've heard just about everything you can think of. Now, a lot of the awful hard questions, you don't need to deal with them. The things of God are foolishness to the natural man. If you try to deal with them, you're talking about spiritual things to someone who can't receive spiritual things. They're not ready. And so I'll show you a little bit of some things you can do there. But bring it back with you. Can I have a couple guys hand this out for me? I didn't hand this out last week. All right, good. This is just Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But just put it in your packet there. And whatever I got left up here on the table, you can take those too. I think we ran out of Romans 3:10. But I think everything else, if you don't have any of the other ones. You have a question right now while they're doing that? We've been through the whole thing. Anything. They're all ready to go hit the streets. Listen, let me say this. I've been doing this for 30 years. You've heard me tell the story, the first one that I led to the Lord. We knocked on the door, and we thought we were going to find somebody home that we had a name for. We got there, and I said, no, that's not where they live. They live over here. Well, I'm sorry, I take that back. I went to the right door. There wasn't anybody home. I thought, well, maybe it's on the other half of this duplex rancher. So I knocked on the other door. That's what it was. I knocked on the other door, and I got the door, and this lady says, I've been waiting for you to come. They've been coming to church. I had never met him before in my life. And she said, I've been waiting for you to come. I said, okay. You need any more? You need some more? You have any extras over there? Guys in the back there. Okay. And, you got an extra there. And they said, come on in. Well, this lady and her niece have been praying for her husband for years. And I walked in. His name was Carl Lindsay. Carl is one of the guys at their Super 60s. His wife's been in a wheelchair the last few years. He's not a big guy. He's a kind of a pretty sharp dresser and just a nice guy. And his wife's a taller woman, but she's in a wheelchair. Just nice folks. And I went in there, and a fellow by the name of Stan Dill was my partner, and I was supposed to go through this, and I'm stuttering and stammering and trying to get through the parts, and I didn't have all these illustrations. I just had the gospel. But I did my best to explain it. And I'm stuttering and stammering. Get down the end, I said, you want to go ahead and accept Christ as your Savior? And he said, yeah. You know, you sure you understood what I said? You know, I didn't, but that's what you're thinking. And so I led him in a prayer, and he's crying, and I'm crying, and this and that and the other thing. He came the following Sunday and came down and made a profession of faith, asked for baptism. The next week he got baptized. He joined the church. He's been an usher there since 1987. Every time we're there they are. Now, it doesn't always go that way, I understand. But what I'm saying, it does work. You don't have to be perfect. And be honest with you, I think for God, God just kind of said, poor dumb Sterl, we'll help him out a little bit here. Let's just let him win somebody to the Lord here and maybe encourage him to do something. If you get a lot of opposition, chances are, if you're giving the gospel and you're giving in love and you're still getting opposition, chances are, devil knows you're going to be very good at it. And he's trying his best to discourage you. You've heard that story. Yes, sir. So why are you asking me? But go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Bob. Well, I tell them the truth, even though what I'm telling them, they probably don't understand either. I would say, well, that's a good question. But the fact is, you're going to understand that better if you let me finish where we are here. If we get this settled, this other part is going to make a whole lot more sense. Now, they don't understand why it's going to make more sense, but that is the truth. The things of God are foolish to the natural man. And so they may think, you know, that I'm going off, I'm pushing them aside. But the fact is, I'll say, well, that's a good question. The fact is, I think you're going to understand that better if you let me go through this first, or if we understand this part first. Yeah. All right. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Well, I tell them the truth. Again, he may not believe it, may not want to take it. But again, if you got the Holy Spirit on you, it has some kind of... And by the way, just I've also said this. Teenagers, you know, you're talking to them. But the fact is, we were all teenagers who did this, and some of it was sinking in, even though we never let on that any of it was sinking in. And the fact is, why does he keep bringing it up? He actually wants it to be true. We're hoping it might be true. Well, I'll tell you what I'll say. First of all, I'll say, well, the book's been around longer than any other book. If you read it, you'll find that there's such minute instances and things that go throughout the scriptures that there's no way. It was written by over 40 men over 1,600 years. And I said, there's no way they could all be so absolutely in tune with each other when some of them didn't have access to the other's writings until they were after they were written. And I said, I know, and this sounds funny, this is something I've said. Do you remember the early Andy Griffiths and then the later Andy Griffiths? They're not the same because they're written by different writers. Same characters, different writers. I said, same author, different penman. And so I can't prove to them that it's right because they're going to have to see it for themselves. They're going to study it. But the fact is, again, if the Holy Spirit's real, and he is, and if he's the one who reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, then the fact is, when you say there's no book like this book, this is the book that has changed lives through the revivals and the great awakenings, and there's been people who said they were going to destroy it and they can't, and it's still the bestseller. The fact is, the Holy Spirit's in there saying, "You know he's right. You know he's right. You know she's right." And they're not paying any attention. Just tell them the truth. You know, we don't have to, and I understand. I don't mean this in a negative way. I'm saying to all of us, we if we're not careful, we'll say, "Well, I got to defend it." You don't have to defend God. Just stand firm and let him defend you. Let him give you the boldness that you need. Give him the truth. And you know, I think it was Voltaire, if I remember right, who said, "You know, 100 years, people won't even know what the Bible is." His house, after he died, I'm pretty sure it was Voltaire. I have to go and study, but it was one of these great atheists, and they said within 100 years, his house was being used as a place for a printing press to print Bibles. Don't you love it? God's got a sense of humor. I'm pretty sure it was Voltaire. I have to look that up for you, but it was someone who wanted to disprove the Bible, and he said, "Well, in 100 years, no one will even know what a Bible is." 100 years later, his house is being used as a printing press. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for these dear folks. And Lord, I thank you for their desire, inquisitive, desire to want to know how to do this more efficiently, with more power, more successfully. Lord, also remember them that we need to go, if we go to the woods, we need to make sure we sharpen our axe. But the fact is, we need you behind the handle and you doing the work. So Lord, I pray that you bless each one here as they strive. Those first messages we had, Lord, we talked about the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we pray for the filling, for the power, the endowment of the Holy Spirit, so that our words will carry not just the weight of us, but the weight of God on the hearts. Lord, bless each one. Use them in a great and mighty way. Lord, we have a great job to do to win our town and our county, our area for Christ. And Lord, we can do that because we have you, because you can do it. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Thank you for what you've done. Lord, to be one doesn't know Christ as their Savior here tonight. They're just kind of questioning. They need to settle it. Lord, help us to get that squared away tonight before they leave. And we give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.